Hey, is this thing on? Oh, it is? Word. You are now listening to Lecture Hall, brought to you by StudentUnionSports.com.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Sorry I'm late. It's just like this new schedule's totally confusing.
Infiltrate the dealers, find the supply.
We get to be brothers?
Infiltrate the dealers, find the supply.
I am a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
Hey, Greg, why don't you go piss your pants again?
That was like 8 years ago, asshole.
Now you're all in big, big trouble.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Lecture Hall, brought to you by StudentUnionSports. It's your depressed boy, Big Hopper. It's your boy, Shoots. Yeah, Harry Shoots. Yeah, Stillings. Your boys are in the house. It's another episode of Lecture Hall. The Badgers just lost to Maryland, but it is what it is. We got a show to do. Put that aside. Get hyped. Because it is Lecture Hall. Harry, hit me with the syllabus.
What's up, guys? Classes in session. If you're listening to this, you probably just got traded to the San Diego Padres. The Padres are trading for everybody. They traded for Blake Snell last night. They kind of, how do you want to phrase that? They
deep talks for you, Darvish, currently?
I saw that it's already done. They've already got Darvish. They broke
them. There fucking is.
They broke the barrier of the MLB offseason last night, trading for Blake Snell. They sign the Japanese second baseman, Ho Sung, whatever, afternoon, and they trade for Yu Darvish.
You got it.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank here. And then they trade for Yu Darvish this afternoon. The Padres are going all in. And let's not forget, Clevenger's out this season, but coming back around in 2022, Clevenger's coming back from TJ, and that rotation just is a gift that keeps on giving all year round, Clark.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
It sure is. Yeah, our boy Danny Vietti made a pretty good point yesterday. It was just like a list of like nine guys who the Padres have under contract through 2023. It was Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, Blake Snell, Denelson Lamet, who is a quiet Cy Young candidate last year, received some votes, Will Myers, Trent Grisham, former Brewer, Jake Cronenworth, who could have won Rookie of the Year, Chris Paddock, Austin Nola, and Mackenzie Gore. That is a lot of people. And then Hosmer and Clevenger through 2022. So it's pretty wild to see that a team like the Padres is now gone from, started from the bottom, now we're here, kind of.
Yeah, it's funny that when they signed Manny Machado and Hosmer, we thought that they were just going to be wasting away their careers in San Diego with no possibility of competing for anything, and here they are. They're the second best odds to win the World Series this year.
Yeah, I know that I just saw that they moved up, and I don't know if that includes the U trade or not, but they're certainly going to continue to move up as the odds get better per Vegas. It's going to be interesting, though. They're going to have to dethrone Clayton Kershaw, Mookie Betts, and the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, that Dodgers team is something else. Honestly, it's the scariest. It's the scariest MLB team I've ever seen. They're just loaded in every
ever, and you're a aspect. Fan, and you were a fan for the 2018 Boston Red Sox.
I don't know what you're doing, but yeah, they are by far scarier than the 2018 Red Sox. This team, this Dodgers team, could honestly win 125 games.
Like that? Well, like, the 2018 Red Sox literally beat pretty much this exact Dodgers team.
Except that exact Dodgers team now has Mookie Betts, the second best player in the league.
Fair point. But he was also on the 2018 Red Sox. I guess you can't tell. Too close to call is what we'll call it.
They also have Corey Seager now, too, who has reemerged as a stud, and they're trying to trade for Arenado still or Lindor still, this Dodgers team's not done. They are filthy. Walker Buehler has more experience now than he did in 2018. Kershaw finally shaked off his playoff woes. They also have David Price still. People forget he sat out last season. Who knows if he plays this year? This Dodgers team is loaded.
That's actually a really good point. Price probably just put me over the edge. I'm not going to lie. No. That was a good point. Look at you out baseballing me.
I mean, it's not hard to do. I just got to apply myself.
I'm going to start belittling the shit out of you on this show. If I hadn't already. Anyways.
We're through 1 week of the NBA season. I mean, what else, what is there to really say?
Cleveland's 3-0. Orlando's 3-0. Atlanta's 2-0. And, I mean,
the Clippers got shellacked by the Mavericks last night. Lost by 50.
I will say also, yeah. Also, I will say the Nuggets at 0-2 is fairly surprising.
Yeah, I mean, they don't crown a champion after three games. That's the important thing to note here.
It's fair. That is, I don't think you've said anything better.
And yeah, I mean, Hornets in six. That's all I've got to say.
I hate you. That is not a thing.
It's a thing. Then our unofficial but official Stooge of the Week.
What's the big idea, Egghead?
It is the Stooge of the Week.
Being Dwayne Haskins, what an idiot. When you suck at your job, you can't afford to do something out of the office or off the field that's going to affect your ability to prove yourself at your job again. And, you know, James Harden. I mean, Harden did the same thing. Dwayne Haskins goes to a strip club maskless and then posts about it. I mean, what an idiot.
Yeah, not a great look for Dwayne. Like you said, I mean, what was it? I think it was last week we were talking about if I was half mediocre at my job, I don't even make like $20,000 in comparison to being like an average NBA player or professional athlete. And then you have Dwayne Haskins, who like the equivalent I can bring for this is like being bad at your job and then also like putting like somebody's information in jeopardy. Like, or like just being bad at your job and then like doing something stupid, like yelling at a customer or something like that, or getting like a bunch of bad reviews and like you basically have nothing to fall back on. You're not good at your job. Now you're fucking up everywhere else. Like, what's like this guy is basically, in my eyes, divorced and working at McDonald's. Like, that is the NFL equivalent. We'll see if he can come back. I mean, for the sake of believing in humanity, I hope that he can figure this shit out. But I mean, good riddance. I don't think if you're a Washington football team, you should be too hurt over them finally getting rid of Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, and I mean, he's definitely going to get another job. We see it in the NFL all the time when these horrible quarterbacks get reemployed after they're cut. I mean, the only exception being Colin Kaepernick, and that's just a whole nother issue on its own that we're not going to dive into here. But Haskins is certainly going to get another contract somewhere. Where it's going to be, who knows, but Washington clearly had enough. And what was he, only 2 years removed from being a top five pick, or was he the number one overall pick? Ohio State quarterbacks just don't translate to the NFL.
He was 15th pick.
15th pick. Oh, well,
but he said like the league messed up or something like that was his quote on draft night for letting him fall that far. So, yeah, the league really fucked up.
I mean, we made excuses for that one NBA player for going to the strip club in Atlanta to get wings, and then you see
Eric Gordon, I think it was.
We see Haskins in the going to a strip club. It did not look like he was getting wings. He was getting some other parts of the chicken there. And then James Harden last week doing the same exact thing in Houston, and have, I think, John Wall and among other teammates had to sit out their first game, or they canceled their first game even because of contact tracing. They didn't have enough guys available. Professional athletes, man.
Can't live with them, can't live without them, I guess. That's what it feels like.
Hoppa, you know what else you can't live without?
I think I have an idea. What is it?
I think it's our friends over at Gibbs Grooming. Do you want to tell the folks a little bit about Gibbs and the giveaway we're doing with them?
Absolutely. If you haven't heard already, we are giving away some free Gibbs product, the 3-in-1 Beard Hair Body Wash, the Biofuel Conditioner, a couple samples, one of the Colorado Kid Beard Oil, one of the Bushmaster, and then the Puckett Deodorant, little sticky little thingy on there. Gibbs, obviously fantastic. This morning, showered up, looking good, looking clean. We're growing the stubble back out. We're using that Sharp Dressed Mane shave gel and the slew of other great products that Gibbs Grooming does and gives to us. So if you haven't entered it already, make sure we're going to have probably another tweet, or maybe we'll do the original tweet. But either way, make sure you're following us, Student Union. Make sure you go follow Gibbs and send us a screenshot of your subscription to the pod on whatever format you listen to for confirmation and running. This is going until January 4th, so let's see. That takes us until next Monday. We might have to do a Sunday night pod to announce a winner on Monday.
No.
But never mind, folks. Anyways, if you are not so lucky to enter and win, luckily, us here at Lecture Hall do something that nobody else does, and that's offer you 15% when you go to Gibbs Grooming, G-I-B-S. G-R-O-O-M-I-N-G, GibbsGrooming.com. You can use the code HALL15 to get 15% off. I hate when we go to these, like, Yankee swaps and that kind of stuff. You know, the family you don't see after the holidays, maybe the really big side where you guys just put a bunch of prizes on the table. Like, my family does bingo. You play bingo, you win, you pick some, you know, crappy present that somebody spent $20 on. This is not one of those crappy presents. This will be the one present on the table everybody wants. It'll be whatever you get from GibbsGrooming.com when you use the code HALL15, HALL15. I will say, despite you bodying me with that little baseball fact a little bit just a second ago during the syllabus, we did lose one of the legends, Phil Niekro, knuckleballer, played from 64 to 87, part of the 300 wins club, a career 335 earned run average. People forget little brother Joe also pitched, and between the two of them, 539 wins, but Phil, the oldest of the two, passed away at, I believe it was 81 years old. And so former Milwaukee Brewer, or Milwaukee Brave, I should say, a lot of moments that are traced back to Milwaukee that are classics, classic Hank Aaron teams, everything like that. Very rarely do you get teams like that you can trace back to your hometown. So it's going to be a big miss. Hall of Famer. It feels like we are, I don't know, man. It just feels like we're losing some of the greats here in 2020, but I suppose that goes with every year.
Yeah. Before we keep going on with knuckleballers, I hate every January we're bound to lose some kind of celebrity, and Twitter immediately goes, oh, 2019, man, come on, we can't get a break. We're 2020, man. You're gonna have, like, Betty White or somebody's gonna die in January 2021.
I don't know about her. And that's not a good call. Is she 100 yet?
her other celebrity of notice is gonna die in January 2021. It's gonna be within the first week or two. And Twitter's gonna go, oh man, 2021, man, we can't catch a break. 2020 was hard enough. It's gonna be the immediate reaction. It's so, so stupid. People die. It's a fact.
Yeah, it's sad. I will say, Betty White, January 17th, a week after my birthday, she will be turning 99.
If she makes it there.
Dude! Are you kidding me? Anyways, I will say, haven't seen her in a while. I think can we get a check on Betty White, please?
Yeah, I think they're just weekend burning Betty White just to say that she's going to make it to 100.
I feel like this is going to bring us some bad luck here if we keep going. If we don't give those who have gone their due here. I feel like we're building up some bad karma here. I already pay the bookie each week enough money.
All right, outside of Betty White and Phil Niekro, you know what else is dying? And that is the art of the knuckleball.
That is right. Not great, Bob. But yeah, you got a point. Like I said, two brothers, Phil and Joe Niekro, arguably some of the most famous for it. Obviously, R.A. Dickey is more of the modern version of that. Tim Wakefield as well, former Boston Red Sox.
I mean, that's really it when it comes to knuckleballers. When someone asks you like what you know about the knuckleball, the first two people that come to mind are typically Dickey and Wakefield, more or less because of recency bias. But that's it. No one really throws the pitch anymore.
Yeah, it's wild when you look at like some of the most notable knuckleballers because they all had like 15-year careers. Some of the stats aren't that nice, but throwing that pitch elongated a lot of careers. I mean, there's plenty of guys on some of this notable list with 200 wins. Obviously, Phil, who just passed away, with 300, like 100 wins as a pitcher, which for all intents and purposes is a fair stat since it was seen when most of these guys were throwing the wiggler, as I like to call it. I don't know if that's actually something that it calls, but that's what I like to call it. But yeah, it's kind of interesting to see what these guys do and how basically throwing a knuckleball elongated their careers.
Yeah, I mean, like Wakefield pitched for 19 years. He has 200 wins. That's third all-time in Red Sox history, only behind Cy Young and Roger Clemens. Two fairly big names in the game of baseball. And, I mean, he won two World Series in 2004 and 2007. And then Dickey's the only knuckleballer to win a Cy Young in 2012 when he started the season off like 13-0 or 12-1 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize Cy Young. There's kind of a big award named after him in baseball. And then obviously Clemens, like you said, for Wakefield. But yeah, R.A. Dickey, people forget like, I want to say it was like J.P. Aaron Sebia or something like that. That's a name. Or some other Mets catcher that had to use like a glove that was like two sizes too big because he couldn't fucking handle it when Dickey was really going good. But it sucks. You hate to see the art of the knuckleball die. Shout out my boy Bama Doyle, had one of the better ones coming up through youth, but then Dad told him he couldn't throw it anymore. So we'll never find out how good his stacked up. But
what was that?
What?
Did you just plug some like 12-year-old that you grew up with?
I mean, he's 22 like I am. just plugged a childhood friend. Like, I don't know.
If you had to rank the top three knuckleballers of all time, assuming we just talked about all three of them, where do you rank them?
I don't know about that. There's Ted Lyons, people forget, back in the 20s. 260 wins as a primary knuckleballer. But I would have to say Phil is the GOAT. Then I'm probably going to go R.A.
I'm putting Wakefield at two.
Yeah, Wakefield's at two. You're right.
Dickey wasn't even very good except for his 1 year when he won the Cy Young.
Yeah, he pretty much just had a couple years.
He was very aggressively mediocre, except for 1 year when he was the best pitcher in baseball.
Hey, you know, lightning in a bottle. Maybe I would love to see some of the best years for knuckleballers and see what wind patterns were like in America and see if there's any correlation. But yeah, like you said, I mean, basically 2012 at age 37, I mean, he had had some nice seasons. Don't get me wrong. Going back and looking at it, did RA have, like his, let's see, his 2010 season was pretty good, but yeah, 2012, 2.73 ERA, 120 ball games, completed five with three shut pieces, CG shut pieces, 233 innings that year, 230 strikeouts. Had a hell of a season, man. But yeah, otherwise there's some tough ones in there. Dude, there was times I didn't realize how fucking old this guy was. Dude, he literally, like, all of a sudden 2012, like 2010, he's 35 years old, and out of nowhere just starts throwing basically 200 inning seasons until he's 40, and then just fucking fell off a cliff.
I mean, that's why guys adapt to the knuckleball, because they've got no zip on the fastball. You should adjust the knuckleball.
Should I?
You should. Maybe you could resurrect your pitching career back in your summer rec league and make a run.
There's no run at
Division III baseball or something.
I'm not gonna spoil anything, but the idea of a comeback, there's feelers.
Hoffa's gonna resurrect his career on the knuckleball and
Be the greatest NAIA pitcher of all time based off the knuckleball.
60 mile per hour knuckleball. Just, you can't hit it.
You can't, dude. When you're mixing speeds of 72 mile an hour and flat fastball that doesn't move and a 60 mile an hour knuckler and then a devastating 2-8, I think that's the correct thing on the clock, curveball and the occasional changeup. I mean, that repertoire is just unhittable. For the classic D3 hitter.
All right, moving away from knuckleballs, we've got the college football playoff semifinals on Friday. We've got Alabama and Notre Dame. We have Ohio State and Clemson.
Yeah, not knuckleballs, but knuckleheads. The playoff committee has us in a situation where we're about to watch Notre Dame probably get pummeled by Alabama, and then Ohio State, I guess we'll figure out how good they are against Clemson. Alabama, 19.5-point favorites. Clemson, 7.5. It'll be interesting to see what the results of these games are. But Notre Dame, man, there's no – 20 points – in the national semifinal game. Oh my god, that's so many fucking points.
All right, let's start with the Alabama Notre Dame. That's gonna be a quick preview. So let's start with the Clemson Ohio State game. What are you looking for in this game? Who's the favorite? If you're throwing some of your hard earned currency with on it through BUSR. Who are you putting that money on?
Oh, man, I don't know, man. Clemson was not great against the spread this year, -7.5. That over-under is at 66.5. That's really high. But I feel like these college playoff games often lend themselves to some high-scoring games. I don't think Ohio State's defense is any better than Notre Dame's, and they had, what, two games that were – overtime, like 40-30 and 30-something to, well, I guess Notre Dame was like 30-7 or whatever. But I think I would go under the 66.5. That's so many points. But I think Trevor Lawrence and what Clemson has, it's hard not to bet against them. If the number goes down to 6.5, I would say take it. 7.5 is a little sketchy. I would probably take 7 and hope and pray for a push. But I'm probably going to – I tend to not bet in these bigger games just to watch and take in. But if I'm going to throw one down that under, 66.5 seems kind of nice.
Honestly, I don't even think that – I think that – betting on Clemson to win by double digits is a safe bet. I don't think Ohio State has any chance in hell in this game.
Wow.
I think
Clemson's That's a take.
I think Clemson's defense is too good. There's no way Clemson's defense, now that they're fully healthy, no one's out to COVID, there's no way Clemson's defense is worse than Northwestern's. And Northwestern made Justin Fields look like he should be playing at Rutgers.
You got a fair point. I we'll find out if Clemson is able to adapt on defense and kind of use the blueprint that Northwestern laid down. And I think it's certainly possible. I just never know when it comes to these things, because I feel like there's usually like four or five different ways you could say the game comes with an outcome, and that's why I usually stay away from the big games like this.
See, no, I would bet that Clemson -6.5. I would bet my mortgage on it if I had one. And I would probably also take the under, because I don't think Ohio State's going to be putting up enough points to be able to get to that over. It's going to be all Clemson. It's going to be like the ACC championship game. There's no doubt in my mind.
Interesting. Yeah, I will say I'm trying to get – my internet sucks, so I'm trying to get the team totals up. At 66.5, let's see, Clemson by 7. So you're thinking that Clemson is probably going to have – it's probably going to be like 38 or so to 31. No, that's too high. What is that, like 34 to 31 or – to 27. I would take, I think I kind of like your train of thought.
It's going to be like 34 to 17.
Yeah, I think under, I'm just trying to figure out what the team total is, since my internet sucks and it's not allowing me to pull it up. But I would say if you can get the team total for Ohio State under 27, which I'm not sure what it's at right now, I would say that might be a pretty good bet for you.
Yeah, because like Fields is supposed to be like this master of taking care of the ball, but every time I've seen him this year, all he does is turn it over.
Yeah, Indiana. Like
every time I watch him, it's their running game that's carrying him.
Former Oklahoma running back Trey Sermon looked good. Yeah, it'll be. I just never know. But then I could also see Justin Fields shredding, maybe getting some of that great ground game from Ohio State and just eking one out.
This is the thing with Ohio State. We know their defense isn't very good. We know that Justin Fields can be baited in the turnovers. We know that if they play a solid defense, that they're really going to struggle. And then only played 6 games, that small sample size, we have no clue what to expect out of them. We have zero idea.
You're absolutely right, man. I don't have a good answer. I would say under the total points and Ohio State's under. I know we're supposed to be getting we should start keeping track of certain picks. We should start making this a weekly segment.
Yeah, I would think both unders and then bet the farm on Clemson money line and Clemson -6.5.
Honey, put up the fucking harvester. I love Clemson this week.
Take out a second mortgage on your home and bet that on Clemson.
Responsibly, of course. Please do it responsibly.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a responsible decision. Imagine telling your wife that you just took out a second mortgage so you could bet it on Clemson.
Hey, when you know, you know.
When you get that gut feeling, you just have to jump on it.
Absolutely. Could you imagine if you didn't take it? I mean, what if you didn't?
Yeah, you could pay off both mortgages and then have a little left over to maybe buy a new starter for your car.
That hurt.
All right.
Tough day for Hopwood, but.
Speaking of things that hurt, Alabama, Notre Dame, the other semifinal game. I think this is just a mirror of what I just said Clemson, Ohio State's going to be, except it's going to be Alabama just putting up points on Notre Dame, and Notre Dame just can't do a thing about it.
Yeah, I like I think for this, I like, it doesn't really matter what the line is. I'm going to go under whatever Notre Dame's points is, team total as well. And probably, let's get this pulled up here. Let's see, what do we got right now? not even sure. 65 and a half for the total. Alabama 20-point favorites. So they're thinking somewhere around like basically like 45 to 20. Well, I guess not necessarily, but there's a lot of different ways you could get to 20 points. But definitely, there's a good chance Alabama puts up 40 points. They're 8-2 against the spread this year, and Notre Dame is 5-5. So like we said last week, can you really bet against Bama? I don't fucking think so.
No, you can't. It's Bama minus whatever. It's Bama money line. And it's honestly that over could hit on Alabama alone.
But I would not. 65 is a lot, but I also wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they tickled like 56 points.
It could be like 55-12.
Absolutely could. I wouldn't be surprised one bit by that. I would carry on eating dinner.
I think I'm not even going to watch that game. I might watch Clemson-Ohio State just because it is the potential to be the best of these playoff games, but there's no way that I'm even turning this game on unless I see on Twitter that it's like unnecessarily close.
Hey, you might want to watch just kickoff because that's probably the closest it'll be. But yeah, Notre Dame Bama is at 3. Ohio State Clemson is at 7. Also, on Friday at 11 a.m., a good game. But Cincinnati and Georgia, 9-0 Cincinnati, 7-2 Georgia. Georgia 7-point favorites. Kind of like the Bearcats. But we can talk about that another time. Well, I guess not really. I mean, now it's kind of the time to talk about it. But that game's on Friday. Then also on Wednesday, we have the Duke's Mayo Bowl at 11 o'clock. Wisconsin, 7.5-point favorites. Over Wake Forest, and 7 Florida plays number 6 Oklahoma in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl. So it's a good week for bowls. The week after Christmas, Saturday we got some good games. Oregon 25 ranked against 10 Iowa State could be a good one. Texas A&M North Carolina's got a chance for lots of points. Kellen Mond and Sam Howell going at it in that one. That could be fun. So yeah, there's a lot of bowl games left. A lot of good games. West Virginia Army is probably going to fuck. That's probably going to be a sweet game to watch. But yeah, man, I mean, it's bowl season. Obviously a bunch of them are canceled. I mean, even tomorrow, maybe today when you're listening to this, Oklahoma State 21, Miami 18, sure to be a good game. Even, 4-1 Colorado plays 20th ranked Texas on Tuesday. So we've seen some good games already. It's bowl season, but let's make do with what we do have, and hopefully the college football playoff inspires some fireworks.
Yeah, it's just disappointing when 95% of your bowl matchups are better than your playoff matchups, which just goes on with our rants last week about how bad the system is, but it's so stupid.
Insert the Lonely Island. I won't be a part of this system, man. Anyways, I think we can move on from the college ranks. Let's take it to the pros. You know, we like to bet our fair share of sports here at Student Union Sports, but it isn't always easy to find a reputable source to place a bet. At Student Union Sports, we are big fans of BUSR.com. Partnership alert! BUSR is your go-to location for all sports betting and online gaming. Bet on your favorite sports events today, including the NFL, biggest winners and losers, NBA, college football, even college basketball, and many other sports. If you're into betting the ponies, BUSR also offers the best promos, bonuses, and odds of any online racebook. If you think you're a savvy sports bettor, BUSR is the place to go. If you go and head on over to BUSR.com/studentunionsports today, you will receive 20% on your sign-up bonus and up to 8% in rebates every single day. Again, that's BUSR.com/studentunionsports. You can also find that link in the bio of our podcast, plus on the front pages of our website and Twitter. Go to BUSR.com/studentunionsports today to start your betting.
It is time for the segment that everybody tunes into this program for, NFL Week 19, Week 16, winners and losers. Hoppa, who is the biggest winner this week?
It's time to declare me correct, because I am the biggest winner, because Ryan Fitzpatrick should have been the quarterback the entire time. Tua was not ready. He cannot handle it. They're 10-5. They probably would have won a couple more games had you not had Tua throwing for less than 100 yards in every game, and then you just try to put Ryan Fitzpatrick in. Now, going into next week, you're going to have to play the Bills, who might have nothing, who essentially have nothing to play for. So they might get lucky and sneak in. I don't know what the Dolphins playoff picture looks like at all, but I mean, absolutely brutal. They're still naming Tua the quarterback, and I don't see any reason to justify it at this point. He's played in 9 games. 65% is nice. It's not bad. 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, 2 picks. That's nice, but like when you look at, like, that's only looking at the surface. I mean, 1-2 games, he's had under 100 yards. He's had basically under 200 in a couple of them. Like, I haven't seen it yet. Obviously, so take out the first game. He had 9 yards. He's had 1, 2, 3 now fully under 100-yard games. I mean, you may as well start calling him fucking Lamar Jackson at this point. But obviously, I'm not right. Tua has a long career that's ahead of him. Brian Flores probably believes in him, and I'm probably wrong. And that's fine, but I'm going to take a win on the 2020 season. Tua's not ready. He's not the man. Their uniforms are candy ass. What can I say?
I mean, Tua's the starter. Ryan Fitzpatrick's the closer, and it's been a system that's been working for them very well so far this season. Here's the Miami playoff scenario for you. They are in if they win, or...
Win and you're in, baby.
They literally just have to win or tie with anybody else because they have all the tiebreakers.
Good for them. You know what? Miami, that defense deserves to be in the playoffs. I will say, our Raiders, well, my Raiders, Derek Carr, get the man some help on defense, damn it.
Actually, I think you just have to give the ball to Marcus Mariota.
Come on. I think Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback of your Indianapolis Colts next year. So you
I think Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots next year.
Well, this isn't a prediction show, so we're going to get off of that. Who did Dunn win for you last week?
It was the Dallas Cowboys, a team that we have clowned so often for having so much talent and doing nothing with it, have quietly found themselves tied for first place in the NFC East with the Washington football team at 6-9.
Nice season so far from Dallas.
They're coming out of nowhere with Andy Dalton and the boys, and they could very well sneak their way into the playoffs.
Andy Dalton, for what it's worth, he should have a starting job somewhere. He can still fucking do it.
He should go over to Vegas.
That wouldn't be a terrible option, I don't think. I mean, but for real, like, Dalton, obviously, he's a game manager. If you're a team like Detroit, sounds like Stafford might be on the move. Minnesota, even Carolina could probably kick the tires on somebody. I would even say Denver could be a team. Some of the quarterback situations are kind of weird, but Dalton definitely could start in this league and get you 7 wins again. He's good. Yeah, I will say, if Washington football team loses, they will have a negative point differential for the season, and it would take Dallas 74-point win to break even. New York would have to win by 81, and Philly would have to win by 78. So any way you slice it, you're going to have a team with probably a really bad point differential in the playoffs because it is the NFC East. What a terrible situation there. Absolutely disgusting.
I mean, if they can sneak their way in, though, it's this season as big of a disappointment as we thought it was going to be, or is it even more of a disappointment because they lost a top draft pick that they could have definitely used to get Dak some help or to draft Dak's replacement if they're looking to move on from him?
Oh, I mean, I definitely think you have a really good point there. I mean, your defense is bad. You've won three straight, and you've put yourself in a position to make the playoffs, but that's been based off of banking that these other teams suck. Half your wins have come in the last 3 weeks. Why did you not just continue to tank? I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, don't pay running backs, but for what it's worth, I mean, you have Ezekiel Elliott. You have, Dak, we obviously don't quite know his ETA, but obviously Andy Dalton's shown he can do it. Still, if you want to bring him back next year, yeah, I think they really messed up by trying to win some of these games. I mean, it makes sense. Like, you're trying to win games and still sell some tickets to make the playoffs. Every team's goal is to make the playoffs. But and as we know, like, no team is just going to just give up fully. But, yeah, if you are a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, you got to be a little bit pissed off.
It's got to be, like, a very weird mix of emotions of being, like, happy that your team is good enough to win the division in their worst year, but at the same time pissed that now, like, if you let Dak walk, you're in no position to draft his replacement, and Jerry already showed that he's not going to spend money to get a quarterback who's going to lead you there, so then what's next?
This draft, I mean, besides Lawrence, assumingly Fields, who are probably going to go early, and there's definitely some teams that could use them. I personally, and I'm nobody to take draft advice from or believe, I don't do any of the research. It's not true. I do some research, but I'm never great at projecting things. But as far as, like, this quarterback class, for what it's worth, this class is maybe five quarterbacks deep, and that's pretty generous in my opinion. You're definitely not going to get a Dak who you get in the fourth round and is playing like a first rounder to this point in his career. That shit just doesn't happen. Like, it just doesn't happen that often. Obviously, people will always use Tom Brady as the argument, you know, sixth round or whatever, seventh round or whatever. But that shit happens very few and far between. So, they need Dak back, or you're going to have to go all in with Andy Dalton next year.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if we're going to talk about this quarterback draft class, there's Trevor Lawrence and there's Zach Wilson. And other than that, I don't think anyone else is even worth taking a flyer on until fourth round. Justin Fields is not good.
Desmond Ridder is a fourth round grade for me personally. So I don't think you'd want to get him any higher than that. But I don't know. I'm never good at this stuff. I'm a huge loser when it comes to it. And so that can lead us right into our biggest loser. Would you like to do the honors, or would you like for me to do the damn thing?
Yeah, I can do it. My biggest loser is a guy who's not accustomed to losing, but that's all he's done this year, and it's Bill Belichick. It's always been a debate whether Tom Brady was successful because of Bill, or was Bill successful because of Tom Brady, and we used a small sample size of Matt Castle and then a couple games with Jimmy G and Jacoby Brissett to say that, oh yeah, it's definitely Bill's system. Like, Bill's this quarterback god. He can do whatever. Like, give him a rock and he's winning 10 games. Well, we gave him Cam Newton, who honestly I do not think is as bad as he's looked at times this year. I think he's definitely got something in the tank. I think he's got a horrible, horrible supporting staff around him. And, I mean, we think Bill Belichick's a good coach, but all he's ever known is Tom Brady. I don't know if it's this Bill Belichick is a horrible GM and he's terrible at building a football team that's not centered around the greatest quarterback of all time, or if or maybe this is just a down year and it's just a too small of a sample size to judge Bill Belichick on. But
I think it's too small. I mean,
the creative genius that we know as Bill Belichick has not looked creative or genius in 2020.
Yeah, man. I mean, Newton has definitely not been great.
Everyone on Twitter, because being a Red Sox fan, I follow a bunch of New Englanders, and they're all Patriots fans. They all say, like, Bill's going to resurrect Carson Wentz's career, or Bill's going to fix Dwayne Haskins. It's like, if he couldn't fix Cam Newton, how do you expect him to fix either of those two?
Well, I think it's because Cam Newton is not he doesn't have the same pocket presence as those guys. And, I mean, you won a game against Arizona, 9 of 18, 84 yards and 2 interceptions. And truthfully, it's been a Belichick's defense that's won him a lot. Tom Brady is a great quarterback. Obviously, he has all the counting stats. That's what happens when you play for 30 years in the NFL, similar to Brett Favre. You're just going to have more numbers the more games you play, that kind of stuff. But I think if there's anything, especially like that Chargers win 45 to nothing, 12 of 19, 69 yards and a touchdown for Cam. I think if anything is, it's indicative of how good Belichick's defenses are. And I just don't think Cam Newton does. Cam Newton isn't the accurate passer that Tom Brady is. And hasn't played that well. Cam Newton, I feel like he's kind of jumpy back there. I don't know. I love Cam. I do. I don't want to believe the best in him, but I don't think this system fits Newton the way it fits a guy who, like Carson Wentz, who could really, you know, can sometimes use his legs, but is going to be more of a pocket presence, get the ball out of his hands quickly kind of guy.
All I know is that I'm selling stock in Bill Belichick right now.
Interesting.
This Patriots team, this entire roster is, they're just in no way ready to compete. Like, they look like they need an entire rebuild. They have absolutely nothing on their offense. Edelman's good as gone, that he's so old and decrepit. Dude can hardly walk, much less play a football game. And then outside of Edelman, they have nobody in the receiver room. They have no running backs of real worth. They just have a bunch of guys who they can kind of get production out of at times, but they don't have one guy that they can always go to. Their defense has been mid at best this year. There's everything about this Patriots team is so bad from top to bottom.
Yeah, the offense needs some help, that's for sure. And we'll see. I think selling on Belichick's a little early. I think it's kind of bold, but I'm not going to – this is going to be on the internet for everybody to hear, so I'm just going to call back to it when I need to.
All right, Hoppa, who's your biggest loser?
My biggest loser – this week, as I look now, they just put Stidham in. So who knows? That might spell the end of the season for Cam. I don't know if it's going to be worthwhile him playing next week. Anyways, my biggest loser this week is the Kansas City Chiefs. Kind of weird, I know. They won by 3 against Atlanta. Kind of a sleepwalk game. But Mahomes didn't look great again. This has been a couple weeks in a row now where Mahomes has been good, not great. And I think that it's starting to become a pattern. I mean, 2 weeks in a row, he's under 60% completion percentage. Obviously the amount of yards is there just based off of how many attempts and the kind of routes that they throw. But the Chiefs, along with Patrick Mahomes, I think he's lost the MVP. He might have lost the MVP this week.
Didn't you say last week that Rodgers lost the MVP?
I did, but that was before a beautiful performance.
So this past week. I guess, I mean, Mahomes isn't going to play this week, but
Yeah, we'll see. Aaron leads basically in most of the big categories besides yards anyways. Leads the league in them. Rating, QBR, touchdowns, whatever. The fewest picks, whatever. You know, just normal everyday stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the Chiefs, obviously, they're going to play Atlanta. They have no reason to take them seriously at this point in the season. They play the Chargers. They could probably let it go. But I would be careful. If you sleepwalk in these last couple weeks, then a bye because they're the ones. I believe they're going to be the ones. I don't think there's any.
They've locked it up, yeah.
Yeah, they've locked up the one seed. Just be careful. Sometimes it can be tough when you're sleeping and just to wake up and go. So if anybody can do it, it's certainly them. I'm not saying bet against Kansas City. They should still be your favorite in any way. But I'm saying might be getting a little too laxed. Hmm. Maybe. Hmm. Oh, yeah, interesting.
Next week when we have the final playoff bracket for you, we will compare the actual bracket to what we predicted in the preseason, and we'll see which of the two of us had more picks right. I know for a fact that I think both of us had Minnesota in the playoffs, so there's two L's right off the bat.
Fat ones right in our grills.
But we will cover that next week. There's a little tease for you. That'll wrap it up for today's show. Be sure to go over to busr.com/studentunionsports to place the mega locks of Clemson and Alabama bets. Take out a mortgage on your home. Bet it on those two bets.
Responsibly.
Responsibly, of course. And then you can use those winnings to go over to gibbsgrooming.com. You get 15% off using code HALL15, HALL15. Get 15% off your order. Hoppa, any closing remarks?
Hey, there's no better parlay than to take your winnings and go grab Gibbs Grooming at gibbsgrooming.com.
Class is dismissed.